Three, two, one. Perfect. What is up, everybody? This is DWC episode 21, conference championship week. We're going to be talking about some of the coaching hires that happened. Jacksonville Jags. I don't know why I said their full government. The Jags, whole fiasco and Cowboys being goofballs. We're going to talk about the games that happened. There are four of them. And then we'll go into our picks and locks and talk about the upcoming conference championship games. You guys can always listen to us on YouTube, and for the audio people, we are on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. This will be posted today, Thursday, as we are speaking, on Instagram at Defense with Championships Podcast, and on Twitter at DWC2022. TikTok's back, so we'll still remain on that. Gonna do some editing in the off season so I can make sure we can get the right TikToks and the right quality audio and whatnot for that, so we can start growing on TikTok for season 4 of DWC. But enough of that. We're going to go ahead and get into the coaching hires. We'll just knock out the two from the Lions. Both coordinators left. Aaron Glenn went to the Jets and Ben Johnson went to the Bears. We can just talk about Aaron Glenn to the Jets first, since that's the easiest one. Seemed like it was going to happen. I know he used to be a former Jet. It's interesting to see. Usually when you're hiring coaches, you kind of go the opposite. You don't go back-to-back defense. But, I mean, this defense, I think you could see after Saleh left, the defensive drop was nasty enough that maybe they just need a defensive coach, because – once you get the defense going for the Jets, that's when they start actually winning the games. And I don't know really what they're going to do with the whole Aaron Rodgers situation. So I don't really know if an offensive guy wanted to go over there in the first place. Think he retires?
I think he's probably gone. I don't think he retires. I don't know what the fuck Aaron Rodgers is going to do. I think for Aaron Glenn, though, like, everyone's going to say, why are we getting a defensive coach, or this is just basically Robert Saleh 2.0, which I agree. It kind of feels like a Robert Saleh hire. You know what I mean? It feels like Aaron Glenn is very, like, animated on the sideline. He's a player's coach, just like Saleh was. But let's be honest about what coaching hires are and, like, why it fails and why it doesn't fail. Typically, are you going to get your QB – and are you going to get the right OC?
Mm-hmm.
If you make that, like Aaron Glenn, he'll probably get the defense right. But I don't know. Like, his defenses were spotty on the Lions, in my opinion. Like, yeah, they played well at the start of this year when they were fully healthy. And I don't like dismiss him being a coordinator based off the back half because of all the injuries and stuff. Like, what did he really have to work with? But I mean, are we forgetting the years before that? Like, the Lions weren't always this injured. Plus, they weren't that. The defense has never been good since Dan Campbell's been there. So I don't really know. I mean, he seems like a good leader of men. So yeah, that's a start. But can he get the OC right, and can he get the QB right? That's pretty much what it comes down to when you get hired in the NFL. Like, Ben Johnson can be the greatest offensive mind of all time, and Caleb Williams is just dog shit. You know what I mean? Like, that could very well be the case. And he also gets fired, so.
Yeah. Just real quick about Aaron Glenn and, you know, shout out to – not shout out, fuck you, George, because he's been talking a lot about my boy Terrion Arnold. Aaron Glenn, to me, like, the way that he runs his defense, he runs a lot of man. And, like, a shit ton of man. Like, 85% and up man, which is good if you have the corners for it. I don't think he had the corners for it, and it's also good if you have the pass rush. And we know the Lions pass rush has been dog shit because everybody's injured, so they're having to send, like, if you can't get pressure off your front four, you have to send linebackers and stuff. And when you're sending linebackers, that's less people to cover. So he was having, because they're so depleted, he was having Terrion Arnold guard the best guy. And that is barbecue chicken. No disrespect to Terrion Arnold, but he's a rookie. You know, why are you having your rookie cover the main guys and you're facing, you know, Jettas and AJ Brown and, you know, and other people in the NFC that have great wide receivers? It was only a matter of time before it started to unravel. And if you can't get pass rush and people are just chilling back there, they can just dot you up at any time. And we saw that with Jaden Daniels is able to maneuver in the pocket and be able to dot up people because they're just open because of separation. If you don't have the good corners for man, it's really hard. That's why I give kudos. I know we're going to be, you know, 3 minutes in. Usually it's him, but 3 minutes in, I'm going to bring up the Browns. I know the Browns run man. Can run man because they have the corners for it and they can get pass rush before people. I think that's the, you know, that's the only keys that you can use if you want to run man. A lot of people just run zone now. If you want to run man, you need to have a pass rush. And if you don't have a pass rush, you're going to get dotted up because you can, no disrespect to the corners nowadays, but the wide receivers are so great. You can only hold someone for an X amount of time before like they're going to be 4 seconds
at most. Yeah.
Before they're open, there's just so much rules that favor the wide receivers that even if you try to get handsy, it's going to be a hold, pass interference. We see it with the Steelers. And you could get away with that kind of stuff in college. And that's why we see a lot of these rookie corners outside of like PS2, Roll Tide, that are really good at adjusting because now these corners that are coming in have been labeled handsy. Tarion Arnold, Joey Porter Jr., because they could get away with that kind of shit in college. And now in the NFL, that's not the same case. So running man out of that is just a cause of disaster if you can't get the pass rush going. I mean, they saw an uptick in pass rush off of Za'Darius Smith, and no disrespect to him, but, like, that's how bad their pass rush was. So I think that it works in favor for the Jets because I think Sauce is way better playing man than zone. But I don't know if they're going to have Sauce follow. I think, in my opinion, you know, I love corners. I think it's the second hardest position, might be the hardest position in the NFL behind quarterback. If you're a top five corner and you say you're a top five corner, I think you should shadow the best wide receiver wherever they go.
Yeah, but that's always dependent on the coach.
Yeah. But if Aaron Glenn runs this man the whole time, which I think they can run it in the Jets because they're if they can just – I mean, Quinnen Williams is Quinnen Williams. But if they can get, like, an edge that wants to try playing football, I think they can be really good. I think their edges are, you know, good, but they just don't try. And Will McDonald was hurt. Like, I think they just need to get – if they could get, like, Abdul Carter, I know that's not going to happen, but if they were number one pick, like – yeah, this would work for a man, but I don't know how it's going to be. And like you said, I don't know what the Aaron Rodgers shit. If Aaron Rodgers leaves, who are you getting at quarterback? Are you going to bring back Sam Darnold? Are you going to get Kirk? Like, where is your – and what OC you're going to get? I like Aaron Glenn going to the Jets. I just thought that they would get someone more seasoned. But at the same time, the coaches that are available, who's necessarily seasoned outside of the dude you fired?
I thought they were going to go offense. Like,
yeah,
offensive-minded coach. Because I thought they would really just be done with Rodgers, try to get a rookie QB, and go from there. That's what I thought they were going to do.
But like, who
they
who
still might do
would,
it.
They would take, though.
I mean, I don't fucking know. I haven't thought anything of it.
Yeah, they'd have to go up.
All I know is no one wants Rodgers on the team. At least the fans don't. The owner might, but like I said, it's all going to be dependent on the OC. Who he hires as OC and what QB he gets. I think the defense will be fine. They have so much talent. And when Salah was there, they were a top eight defense easily. So, I mean, I think I don't have like a – I don't have like a one way – I'm not leaning one way or the other.
What would you grade this?
I would grade it like a B probably.
Yeah, I do like a B minus. Like
my
a...
thing is like, Salah wasn't terrible, and I think a lot of his issues came from above, which is normal. Mm-hmm. So like for me, Aaron Glenn what's the difference between him and Salah? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think they're kind of similar coaches. They're both, except Salah was a better DC everywhere he went before Aaron Glenn. So I don't really, I don't know, man. Like, to me, it's a B hire, but I'm not leaning one way or the other if it's good or bad because, like I said, it might be bad depending on who his OC is. If his OC is some rehash that, like, has been out of the league for a while and hasn't grown with how the NFL has adapted on offense, then it could be the same season next year for them.
Yeah, it's gonna be funny, though, because he could pan out. Like, if it goes well, he could be the best coach in that division. I'm not really high on the coaches in that division. I know Vrabel's over there, but I don't really know how that's going to go. I don't really know if he's going to be – if he's a – I think he's a great leader of men, just like Aaron Glenn. But I don't know if Vrabel is a good head coach. So – and you already know how I feel about Mike McDaniel. And I know how you feel about Sean McDermott. So, you know, he could be one of the best coaches in that division.
Sean McDermott's a weird one because he's breaking every Bills record for coaching and record. Yeah. He just has moments of stupidity that I think piss me off more than anything. Like, I think he's proven he's a good coach.
Oh, you on the good coach? I haven't used to shit on him.
I did, but I feel like it's because of situational things. Like, when do we judge coaches the most? It's when it's in the biggest games, right? Mm-hmm. If he can win a Super Bowl, there's nothing else to judge, right? Like, that's pretty much where it is. If he loses again to the Chiefs, then we're like, okay, when are we going to beat this team? When are we going to go to the Super Bowl, you know?
Yeah, and we'll talk about it later when we talk about the Bills-Ravens game, but I think, like you said, some moments of stupidity that he has, I think I saw in that game. But we're going to get to the, you know, the hire that everyone's been talking about, Ben Johnson, going to the Bears. He's been interesting in his first, 48, 72.
Hugh Jackson light.
He's weird, man. He's doing I've always wanted to be here. When Amon-Ra was like, we're going to beat y'all twice. He was like, we're going to whoop y'all ass twice. No, you not. And, you know, in the press conference, when he ended it, he's like, all right, now everybody get back to work. I'll be like, bro, what the fuck? He's just, I think he's trying too hard. Necessarily know his personality, which, I mean, why would we know the personalities of coordinators unless it's a well-known, we know Ben Johnson, but he hasn't had, this is his first head coaching stint. So I don't know if he's trying to make a name or an identity. I don't really know the identity for the Bears, to be honest with you, but yeah.
What's the identity? Corny?
Yeah. It was just weird, man.
No, it was – the vibes I'm getting from him are Hugh Jackson vibes. Since I saw someone, one of the Browns fans on Twitter say it, because if you go watch – this is nasty. Obviously, Ben Johnson proved what he could do. Great offensive mind, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it's eerily similar. You watch Hugh Jackson walk into the Browns facility. Everyone's greeting him and clapping and shit. And you're just like, oh my God, this is cringy as fuck. What are we doing? Yeah. That's doing the most. I feel like the only people that should really enter when he enters to greet him is the owner. You know what I mean? The GM. Yeah. But other than that, get the fuck out of here. All you people are irrelevant.
It was weird, a dystopian.
It just felt like, ew. I don't know why. And then his press conference. I mean, go watch. I want all of you that are watching this to go watch Hugh Jackson's opening press conference with the Browns and then go watch Ben Johnson's and you're going to be like, this dude is cocky. He seems like a douchebag. He's corny and he just doesn't seem likable in any way at all. Like, for him to sit up there and say, he gave props to who? He gave props to obviously Dan Campbell.
Mm-hmm.
And who was the other one? Kevin O'Connell.
Yeah.
And then he said he disrespected Matt LaFleur up there.
I do remember that part. Yeah.
I was like, what is he trying to accomplish?
Yeah, I don't know what he's doing.
Like, Matt LaFleur hasn't been one of the best coaches in the league for how long now? I don't know. Like, to me, it was just, I'm not a Bears fan. And I thought he was the best on the market to get, obviously.
Yeah.
Like you said, we had no idea what he was going to be like because you never know what OCs are. I don't know. He just doesn't seem likable. He doesn't seem genuine. It seems like everything he's doing, he's trying too hard and putting up like a front. And I'm just like, oh, man, that is not a guy. Like when Dan Campbell came in and he got his press conference, you were like, okay, this guy – is real as fuck, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is just who he is. I don't know if we saw who Ben Johnson actually is in that press conference.
Yeah, it's weird because, like, when Dan Campbell first came on the scene, we were like, what the fuck? Like, the biting the kneecaps, we were like, yeah, this dude's kind of lame. But he's real as fuck. It's better, like, to make sense of, like, and obviously we didn't play fucking college ball or anything, but yeah, I mean, even playing high school ball, like, we had a coach like that. Like, our coach was like that.
Mm-hmm.
And outside, you're like, oh, this dude's a psychopath. Like, this is weird. But in house, we're like, hell yeah, we're going to bite some fucking kneecaps. We're going to knock somebody out. So, like, it's different seeing it from the outside. But yeah, it was weird because I thought, because usually, you know, and that's just my own bias. Usually when we think of OCs, we think of like the cool, calm, collected guy that doesn't, that, you know, just behind the scenes, like Sean McVay, like he'll get like hyped up, but usually he's like cool, calm, collected, talking behind the fucking paper and he's dialing up some nasty shit. But like, usually the rah-rah guys are the defensive guys, the Robert Saleh.
Well, I just want to point out, and to your point right there, every time we saw Ben Johnson on the sideline for the Lions, stoic, never smiling, never saying anything. Like, I swear to God, he maybe said five words, and it was on the fucking play. And he's acting completely different now. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know, man. I don't like it. I feel bad for
maybe
Bears
this
fans
is just him. Maybe he's coming out of his shell. Maybe like, he's awkward. I don't know.
I mean, you're right. We could never know until like a few years go by or like the season starts. But like, to me, I don't know. It just doesn't feel genuine.
That's what we're just saying though. Like, once you do something like this, because usually, and we jinx ourselves because we're like, nobody ever goes in division. And here's Saquon, fucking Ben Johnson. Like, everybody's like Patrick Queen, everybody's moving in division. But like, usually you don't, like, it'd be different if you came from the AFC or you came from outside of the division. But like, in division, already trying to make rivals again. Like, bro, you just came from the Lions. What do we do? You hated the Bears. You probably talked shit about the Bears. And now you're on the Bears saying, like, fuck you, Packers. Oh, you know, Vikings and Lions, y'all got my respect. Why are we doing beef with the Packers?
I'm so confused by that. Like, I know the Packers are the Bears' biggest rival in that division. But, like, you got to earn it on the field before you can start talking shit like that.
Yeah.
When have you ever seen another coach come into a press conference and specifically point out another head coach of a team?
It's weird, bro.
That's weird as fuck.
That's weird behavior. And it's like, if you're trying to pander to the fans and the rivalry, like, this isn't the division to do it. I think there's only, like, a couple divisions where that's fine. But, like, the divisions, like the NFC North that's been here for fucking 500 years, like, they can see through your bullshit, bro. If you try to do that in the fucking AFC North, we'd see right through your BS. Like, if the Browns DC came in was the fucking Steelers head coach, it'd be like, oh yeah, bro, I don't know about Zach Taylor. I'd be like, bro, what are we doing?
Imagine Stefanski first ever press conference. It's like, oh yeah, I love Mike Tomlin. Love what he's done with the Steelers. Fuck that Harbaugh guy.
Like,
that Harbaugh guy sucks though. Like.
Like, did Matt LaFleur say your bitch in college or something? Like, what is going on here?
No, but it makes it, like, the worst part for Bears fans is it makes them look worse, in my opinion, because one, I don't know shit about Ben Johnson, his personality, whatever. Mm-hmm. All I did was watch the press conference, and I already hate him and want him to fail. Yeah. And that may be extreme, but like
now if the Packers spank that ass, you're going to be all over Twitter.
Exactly. That too. He gave himself extra pressure now, because now we're going to expect the Bears to show up and beat the Packers twice. Right.
And it's not like you took over the Lions, bitch. You took over the Bears.
Yeah, I know.
You got work to do, brother. And we're calling out the Packers.
Like, I want the Bears to be decent, because I think the NFL is better when they're decent. You know what I mean? Yeah. And they just haven't been, because they're a big brand. But I kind of hope he gets fired in 2 years, bro. Fuck him. Like, are we already starting the hate watch? Like, fuck
no, this. No, I'm not hate watching. This is like.
I might have to start hate watch day one.
I feel for the Bears, regardless of this debacle in this like bravado. Like, I couldn't just walk up there and slap the shit out of Ben Johnson. Despite of this, this is the best coach they've had in fucking eons.
Hey, only time will tell. Hey, he can make up for it by shutting the hell up, to be honest with you. But
this is the best resume that I've seen of a Chicago Bears coach.
That's true.
Who the fuck is Matt Eberflus?
Yeah, like, and
this is the best thing.
And another thing is, I really want to know, like, the behind the scenes of the whole deal, because everything was pointing Raiders and Jaguars.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden the Bears came out.
Well, we'll
talk about the Jaguars in a second, but the Raiders, like, apparently Ben Johnson was on video.
I thought I was shocked. I thought he was going there.
He was on video calls all week long with Tom Brady.
Something had to like not work. Maybe because the incoming the money too.
I guarantee you, when we get that contract info, it's going to be the nastiest shit you've ever heard.
It's going to be the John Gruden bag.
Oh. I'm sorry, but no. I get what Ben Johnson is and what he's done in the league in the last 3 years.
He's already hate watching, y'all.
No, I'm just saying. No. This is for all coordinators that turn to coaches. Go.
Okay.
I'm saying no coordinator that has no head coaching experience should ever get more than $5 million a year.
Oh, but you know he's going to get way more than that.
He's going to probably get 10, and it's a – to me, it's a mistake. To them, it may not be, and he might turn out to be fantastic. But like $10 million going to a guy that's never led a team, an NFL franchise before, that could turn out disastrous. At least John Gruden won a Super Bowl and had proven that he can coach.
And it was still a dumb decision. Let's make sure we
exactly
still a dumb
decision. If that one was a dumb decision, then what the fuck is paying a first time head coach?
Hey, but you know how it is, man. Nowadays, damned if you do, damned if you don't.
That's true.
Like this was we knew coming forth with this. This was their guy. Like if they couldn't get this guy, they were cooked.
True.
They were cooked if they couldn't get him. So they probably gave him a nasty bag. And before we get to the next one, I just want to say, Lions fans, shut the fuck up. They've been cooking Ben Johnson. They've been cooking Matt Stafford, Aaron Glenn. I don't know why we're cooking Pat. Like, I saw a thing. It was no coordinator from the Lions has left for a head coaching position since JFK was president.
Oh, my God.
What the fuck? Why are we? They're saying fuck Ben Johnson, bro. We knew week 7 these brothers was leaving.
Yeah,
we were shocked that he came for this season. We were shocked that he came back. He was leaving.
My favorite tweets are the ones that are like, really, the day after we lose, they're like, oh, he was too busy on video calls to worry about the actual game. And then in game, the Lions put up over 500 yards and 31 points. And they're mad about that.
You're mad about Ben Johnson. How about you look at that fuck wearing 16 and you need to reevaluate yourselves? They're like, bro, why couldn't you wait till more in the offseason? Brother, this is his offseason. Yeah. They lost. Offseason started as soon as they lost. As soon as it hit zeros on the clock, offseason started for them. So why wouldn't you get a jump start on your offseason? Your head coach of the Bears. That trash ass franchise. You got it. They got a lot of shit to fix, brother. Keenan Allen does not need to be employed. No disrespect. We got some shit to fix. I know. That's the issue. Why I'm seeing Romelu Dunze open as fuck and we're not getting him the ball. I hope he fixes that. I'm a big Romelu Dunze fan. But I mean, they got some shit to worry about. They got some shit to fix. So fuck it. Let's get this hire. Let's get going. But yeah, I like the hire. I like both hires. Ben Johnson, just be yourself. If you ever listen to anything on this podcast, just be yourself, man. If this is yourself, that's fine. But let's not get cocky about the Chicago Bears. You know what I mean? Like, what are we doing? It'd be different if I just was the coach for the Chiefs. Y'all got Patrick Mahomes. Fuck y'all. Fuck y'all. Fuck y'all. But, I mean, we don't know about Caleb Williams. And, you know, I don't – you could get stabbed. You know what I mean? Like, you got to watch your mouth, man. These fans are cutthroat. Let the Packers spank y'all, bro. They're going to be cooking you. And my co-host is going to join. He's already hate-watching.
So, I'm hate-watching, bro. I didn't like those vibes.
He got them Hugh Jackson non-flashbacks because of you, man.
Yeah, that's crazy to get those.
You're probably like that fucking Akira. Leave me alone!
Yeah.
Josh McDaniels, OC of the Pats. Random as fuck. I thought I got ball sack sporched. I don't know what that came out of left field, bro. And I'm not saying it's a bad hire, but brother, I dead ass. I'm gonna be real with y'all, man. I forgot about this dude. And I was like, who the fuck just came back to the Pats? His third stint.
Yeah, I know. I don't think. Here's my thoughts on the whole Josh McDaniel thing. I don't think he's a bad OC at all.
No.
Now, has he adapted?
That's going to be the biggest thing.
Has he adapted to the new style of NFL? I don't know. Maybe he has. Maybe he can figure it out. My biggest problem with this hire, and even the Vrabel hire, is Kraft is trying his hardest to go back to the Patriot way. And if that means getting Vrabel, who Belichick coached and had on the coaching staff for a long time, mm-hmm. Josh McDaniels was a longtime OC for Belichick. I think Kraft needs to just let the Patriot way die because the Patriot way was set by two very important people in that franchise history. Yeah. One being the best head coach of all time in the NFL mm-hmm. and one being the best quarterback of all time in the NFL. Those two are gone. No one can replace them. Mm-hmm. You're never going to get that type of way back. That's why I think this was a bad hire.
Gotcha.
That's really all I have on this because you're never going to get that feeling back. You're never going to have another stint of 6 Super Bowls in a row or fucking 7 Super Bowls in 10 years. Like, you're never going to do that shit again. You know what I mean? You need to find a fresh start somehow. You have a good rookie QB. You need to build off that. And what did they do? They went back to how they were like 4 years ago, or at least trying to go back to the way they were 4 years ago. And I don't like it, man. I think they're going to ruin Drake May.
And what have I been saying this whole season? The first couple years of your QB, no matter how good he is coming out of college, are so important for his development. If you fuck this up, no matter what we saw with Drake May and what we saw we liked, I mean, you were high on Drake May out of college. His brother had me watching North Carolina football. Who the fuck wants to watch that, right? And arguably, and I know what we're seeing out of these quarterbacks, this brother could be the best one, and I'm not lying. Like, he could be the best quarterback in that draft. And a lot of people are sleeping on Drake May, and you could ruin all of that in two years.
Yep.
And then he could be cooked. So it's going to be interesting. I like Josh McDaniels, but I like Josh McDaniels 5 years ago. I don't know if I like Josh McDaniels now. But if there was an OC, I think he could be the OC for the Pats that has adapted. He's not an idiot. I never hated on him for not, like, his offensive thinking isn't moronic. I think he was a bad head coach. But this is the third time he's with the organization. Why are we bringing back X's? Why aren't we looking toward the future?
I will say, I know Vrabel wanted Tommy Rees to be his OC. He wanted to take him from the Browns, but the Browns made Tommy Rees the OC for next year. So that was the first choice. And then whatever source I follow on Twitter was locked the fuck in, because I knew McDaniels was going to go there like 2 weeks ago. They were like, Tommy Reese is Vrabel's guy. If they can't get him, McDaniels will probably be the coach. I was like, what the? I got some sources locked in over here.
I looked at it. It was just like a soft launch from Adam Scheffner. I was like, what? I was like, bro, I forgot this dude existed. He's been chilling on that fucking Raiders money for how long, bro?
I think he also took our wide receivers coach, Chad O'Shea, so.
Damn, this brother just came in infiltrated. Was like, yo, I'm going to be the coach of the Patriots. How about you come over? Leave. Hey, who wants to be in Cleveland, right? Look at this dumb shit over here. Look at all this. You getting the scrutinized, bro. Why don't you come over in New England, bro? Come be a Patriots coach. Hey, fuck it, bro. I'm with it. As long as it makes y'all look, I mean, y'all make yourselves look bad enough. You don't really need
outside. I was about to say, we don't need help.
Speaking of bad looks, look at this segue. Jags fiasco. I'm not even gonna name this GM because he's a fucking bum. But they fired this brother. And it's just funny, bro. They had Ben Johnson. Ben Johnson was supposed to pull up. They talked to Liam Cohen. Both of them were like, nah. As on second thoughts, I'm going to be the Bears coach, and I'm going to go and be the OC again for the Bucks. And you're chilling here, owner chilling here, with this big-ass trash can full of garbage next to him, and he's wondering why it stinks in the room. And this Trent motherfucker is just chilling there. I don't know, bro. I don't know what I want. They don't want to come over here, bro. It seems like a great place for me. You could be in Florida, man, chilling. We got Trevor Lawrence. Brother, do you see yourself? And then they were like, so they panic, and they're like, oh, yeah, we'll fire him. And they fired his ass.
After all the candidates are gone.
After all the candidates they won gone. And now they're going to have to resort to maybe Robert Saleh's over there interviewing. Now they're going to have to resort to a defensive coach. Yep, that's what we want for Trevor Lawrence, a defensive head coach.
Yeah, I'm just organizational failure from top to bottom there. That, I mean, Jags, Jets, Browns. I mean, how many times do we have to see Bears? Just fucking moronic moves by the owners. And they had Liam Cohen in for an interview.
Mm-hmm.
And he loved it. He loved the place. He probably told him, listen, get rid of Trent Baalke, the GM, and I'm down. Refused to get rid of him. Liam Cohen went back to the Buccaneers and was like, all right, give me an extension. I ain't taking that job. You know how crazy that is? Two people. Ben Johnson was interested, heavily interested in that team. Mm-hmm. Said no because of Trent Baalke. Liam Cohen was interested, said no. And by the way, Liam Cohen, less experienced than fucking Ben Johnson, I feel like, or less of a resume, and was going to get his first time head coaching job with fucking Trevor Lawrence as his QB, said no because of that fucking GM. And then the owner, Shad Khan, finally was like, oh, I guess we should fire this man. Not only that, but like 4 weeks ago, he went on some fucking show and said, someone give me a reason to fire him. I don't think he should be fired yet. I'm just like, what the fuck is wrong? If I was a Jaguars fan, that stadium's gone tomorrow.
In the span of a month, we're keeping this guy. Oh, if the incoming coach wants him fired, I'll fire his ass right now. And then, yeah, he's fired. Brother, what are we doing? I just gave you a compliment 2 podcasts ago. What are you doing?
That was bad.
What are we doing? You need, as someone at the top, as someone at the, as an owner, you need advisors, bro, because how are you going to make a decision and then nobody agrees with you? Everybody on the webs are like, what are you doing?
Yeah, that's bad.
And you doubled down. It's not even doubling down. You doubled down, but you said, Oh, but if they want him gone, he can be gone. Why the fuck is he employed? What are we doing? That's like if I, that's like if, you know, Reed's a pizza shop owner. That's like if Reed had one of those, like an employee that didn't show up and they're like, and then he wanted a manager and the manager's like, but I don't want employees that don't show up. And then Reed's like, ah, but he a funny dude, bro. When we go to bars, we drink, it's fun time, bro. But if you want to, you know, if you want to hire, if you want to be hired, bro, I'll drop him right now. And then he goes, nah, I don't really like how this organization's ran. And then you, and then you're like, fuck, man. Yo, you fired, bro. Like, what the fuck was the point?
I don't know. It was really bad. I mean, that might be the worst hiring process I've seen in a long time for the NFL.
And now, like, who are you going to get, bro? Like, offensive-wise, are you going to try to get Mike fucking McCarthy?
Oh, God.
Are you trying to get Robert Saleh? Like, no disrespect to Robert Saleh, but, like, we need... And what was Urban? Was Urban offensive?
Yeah, Urban's an offensive guy. Dude, you might as well retire. Like, Trevor Lawrence might as well retire next year and come back the year after, because he had Urban Meyer his first year. Then he had Doug Peterson, a rehash offensive guy. If they get Mike McCarthy, I mean, what are we doing?
Dude, it was looking up. We could have had fucking Ben Johnson. Lean Cone was kind of, you know, unproven, but still. I mean, we saw Baker had one of his best years.
Yeah.
And now we're going to result to Mike McCarthy, Robert Saleh, some fucking random person. Maybe, but you know what? Maybe they need a defensive coach, man. They've been 0-2 on offensive coaches. That's so true. Maybe they need a defensive coach. I don't know. But it's just like, and this is what pisses me off, because like if they get someone that's bad, like, they can get Robert Saleh. That's fine. Their defense is needed fixed forever, right? But Robert Saleh needs to bring a good OC for Trevor Lawrence, because I'm tired of this slander, bro. And don't get me wrong, the haters are winning. It doesn't look good for Trevor Lawrence. The haters are winning. But I promise you, like, if there's anything I'm standing on, when I seen this brother throw the ball, it is insane.
He just needs the right coach.
He just needs the right coach, bro. That brings confidence in him and in O-line. But, you know, that's later on. But, like, not only did you embarrass yourself as a franchise, now you're going to have to work harder, because you thought you're going to have this GM, and now you don't. So now not only are you trying to get a coach, you're trying to get a GM as well. So what the fuck were we doing for the month prior? I thought Ben Johnson – we were saying this is the best – spot for Ben Johnson. This is why he had this interview last. He could look at all the interviews that he had and been like, and then compared it to the Jags. That's usually what you do if it's your last one. Because you think like nothing's going to be better than this last one. So I'm saving it for last. So, you know, fuck the Jags, man, for what they're doing to Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, facts. I have no remorse at this point. That was terrible. Fuck them.
And then Cowboys are having their second interview with Brian Schottenheimer.
Yeah, I don't have much to say on this one. It's just kind of like, why?
Yeah, I mean,
another puppet.
It just, like, you're just embarrassing yourself further. Now it's going to get to the point where, because they're already like a laughing stock, right? The Cowboys are always a laughing stock. Then you hire Mike McCarthy, goofy ass coach. And now you're going to get to the point, your next hire, if you get Schottenheimer, is going to get to the point of now you're going to have players that don't want to play and are going to want to leave because they can't stand this BS. You're wasting my prime. You fuck around, you might lose Michael Parsons. You're wasting my prime. When I'm looking at these other organizations that are helping out their players, getting the right coaches. Fuck this team. Sometimes, and you know, if I'm getting paid a lot of money, though, some people stick it out. But there are some people that have morals, right? That just want to win, regardless of the money. They know they're going to get paid elsewhere, but they just want to win and be able to, you know, put something in the trophy case. And the Cowboys, I'm sorry, but y'all can't do shit until that brother dies. And even then, it might still be cooked. I don't know how his kids are. I don't know who's going to take over that shit. But, yeah, I have no idea who this brother is. When he was inning, all I can see is off the tape of the Cowboys. That shit was dog. Even when they had Dak, it was dog shit. So, again, fuck them. I don't know what they're going to do, though, but now that Ben Johnson's gone, Lean Coleman's coming back, who the fuck is going to get hired? We still have teams that need head coaches, so I don't know who the fuck about to get hired.
Yeah, I think the Cowboys are in hell. Jags are clearly in hell.
The Raiders?
Raiders are taking a while. I don't know. They're moving kind of methodical. They might come out of the woodwork with some crazy shit that we were weren't expecting. Some Pete Carroll bullshit.
Yeah. What about your Jets?
The Jets are always in hell. That's a bad franchise. I mean, just like us. I mean, you might always be in hell.
At least you got a good coach.
Yeah, I'm about to say we're like in a little bit of a different situation than the Jets, obviously. But I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I think the Jets are in hell. Y'all are in purgatory. The Jets are in hell.
Browns are cursed.
And maybe when you move fields, man.
That's true. Get out of that graveyard. Indian
burial ground over there.
Yeah.
So let's go ahead and talk about the games that occurred for the divisional round. We'll get to the first one, the Chiefs, the Texans. The Chiefs won 23-14. I'm going to be real with y'all. This was a boring-ass game. But that's how the Chiefs games are in the playoffs. Boring-ass games. And the Chiefs just won. I think the Chiefs won because they're literally just a better team.
Yeah.
All around. They're just a better team all around.
Yeah, we knew the Texans' defense was good, and the Chiefs don't find the end zone easily anymore. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it was, 13-12 heading into the fourth quarter?
Yeah.
But then the Chiefs do what they do in the fourth quarter. They outscored the Texans. You know what I mean? Like, that's mm-hmm. just what they fucking do. So, yeah, I'm with you. I think the Chiefs are just a better all-around team.
What about the refs, man?
See, here's my thing with the refs. Like, the Bills also get crazy calls. You know what I mean? But the only reason the Chiefs – this is where I see the refing problem in the NFL. Because
there is a refing problem.
There is a refing problem. I 100% agree. I just think since we see the Chiefs in the biggest moments over the last 6 years, like, they're always in the biggest games. Always. They're always prime time. Mm-hmm. They've made it to the AFC Championship game every year Pat Mahomes has been there. I feel like it's – noticeable when flags are called when they're mm-hmm. playing, right? Because they're always, when everyone's watching, they are always the team. People that bitch about Mahomes and the Chiefs, like, no one bitches about the fucking Bills or the Steelers, or, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, because no one watches those teams like they watch the Chiefs, because the Chiefs are always on the primetime games. Fucking, like, Pat Mahomes flopping. To me, players flopping like that on the sidelines is a league issue, not a player issue.
Mm-hmm.
Why not take advantage of something the league has issues calling?
It's the same thing with the NBA.
Exactly. Now, some take advantage of it and some don't. Josh Allen is one of the biggest floppers out of any QBs in the league. And he is 6'5", 240. And this man is flopping every time he gets hit after throwing the ball. But only Patrick Mahomes is the one getting shit on right now. I guarantee you we're going to see the dumbest fucking game this weekend because both QBs flop. They both know how to manipulate the refs. And they're both protected by the NFL.
Yeah. I mean, that's what we're going to see. And like, I understand it. Do I think it's scummy? Yeah. But I understand it. You don't want Patrick Mahomes to get hurt. And then there's your revenue. Nobody's going to watch that dumbass game if Patrick Mahomes can't play.
Yeah.
So... you know, if he gets hit over the head or gets thrown out of bounds, like, they're going to probably call that because they've probably been told by the NFL, like, we're going to protect these quarterbacks, and usually they protect the best ones. So that's just how it's going to be. But the Chiefs, but and I know like it looked like, but statistically, the Chiefs do not benefit near as much as other teams throughout the season for the refs. And I'm with y'all. I hate the refs too. I hate that it looks bad on the Chiefs, but they don't get the benefit of the call statistically more than a lot of other teams. I think they're near the bottom. So you can blame the refs. Yeah, you can blame the refs, but at the same time, like, it's not like they blew out the Texans because of the calls. Like, when we'll talk about the Bills game later, that Keon Coleman bullshit, like, that led the Bills. Like, if that didn't happen, the Ravens might have won that game.
Yeah.
That led to points. That drive would have been stalled. Like, the Chiefs shit, that shit happened on, like, 2nd and 8. And who's to say that they wouldn't have gotten the first down?
My biggest thing with this game, specifically, if you're a Texans fan bitching about the refs, your team had 6 red zone possessions and you got 12 points. Look inward.
Yeah.
Don't look at the refs. You had 6 opportunities in the red zone to score a touchdown, and your QB and offense couldn't do it. What does that say about you guys? You see what I'm saying?
You making enemies with the Texans.
Man. I'll make an enemy out of them, but it could have been any team. Like, yes, we can always point to refs. It's the same thing with the Browns. Like, obviously, experience bringing the Browns in it, whatever. That's my team. I watch the most Browns games. But fucking the year we went to the divisional round against the Chiefs, and right before half, Rashard Higgins dove for the goal line and got hit directly in the head by Sorensen.
Fumbled out
of the end zone. Fucking dumbass Browns fans are like, that's why we lost the game. If that would have been a flag, we would have been on the fucking one and we would have scored right before half. Again, second half, Patrick Mahomes isn't playing. All we needed was a touchdown. Guess who couldn't score that touchdown? Stefanski and Baker Mayfield, right? We had a whole half to score again.
Y'all played
and we couldn't get it done, but we're going to blame the first half flag that we lost the game. There's always a reason, unless it's literally a flag on the last play of the game that gives them an extra play. There's always a reason you lose the game other than flags.
Yeah,
and the Texans
to Chad Henning was
the Texans left fucking 42 points on the board by not scoring in the red zone. That sounds like a them problem, not a fucking ref problem.
Yeah, and that's how it's been. That's how we've viewed the Texans this whole season. It's just been a down year. A lot of people had a lot of expectations. We're looking at you, CJ Stroud and Bobby Slowick, and you didn't live up to the expectations. I think, and I'm pretty sure Reed feels the same way, this is a beatable Chiefs team. This Chiefs team is not a Super Bowl winning team to me.
Absolutely.
It's only if they win the Super Bowl, it's because of 15. I'm not going to lie. But I'm picking the Bills. I think the Chiefs can be beaten. Even if they beat the Bills and go to the Super Bowl, I think they can be beaten. This isn't a good Chiefs team to what their standard is in winning Super Bowls. And the Texans had the opportunity to beat them. And like you said, 6 red zone, and you got 12 points out of that.
And, like, let's be honest here. Like, I saw Karlaftis look like prime TJ Watt out there.
Yeah.
Like, we have more issues than the refs in this game, to be completely honest with you. The Texans didn't play good enough to beat the Chiefs that day. That's all it was. That was actually all it was. The refs, who cares? I'm just annoyed because, like, it's the same thing with Brady and the Patriots. Everyone bitched about Brady getting calls. And at the end of the day, Brady and Mahomes are just better than your favorite team. Get the fuck over it. You know what I mean? Like, if the Browns ever play the Chiefs in the playoffs, which we have and we lost, I'm not blaming the loss on the refs. Like, we just weren't good enough to beat that team. That's ultimately what it is.
Exactly. I knew when we were going to play the Chiefs, when we had Ben for his last year, I knew we were a lamb to slaughter. They were just a better team than us.
Like, no one likes to admit that shit. No one ever does. Like, ultimately, the Chiefs have a dynasty. The Patriots had a dynasty. They had the best coach. The Chiefs have the best coach. You know what I mean? Like, you're just not better than them. Like, that's all it is. Like, for you to beat them, you had to play perfect, and you played far from perfect.
And my thing is, so say the Chiefs didn't get – say they say they didn't get that call. Who's the fuck to say that y'all were going to do anything with that possession?
Yeah, I don't know, man.
From what we've seen, who's to say that if y'all got that possession, y'all were going to do something with it?
I'm just tired of it, bro. I'm tired of every Chiefs game being a fucking this flag, that flag. Who gives a fuck, man? Why don't you actually take a lead on them for once, and maybe flags won't affect the fucking game? It's so fucking annoying, man. I'm so over it. I'm over it. No one can appreciate greatness anymore because greatness is whooping their ass every time they play head to head. It's so annoying.
You respect them, man.
I don't respect the Texans, bro, and their fans. Like, their fans. Don't be the Bengals fans. Don't be them. I'm fucking over it, man. I'm over the Bengals-Chiefs matchups because every single time it's a close game and they're going to blame the refs if they lose. No matter who loses, if the Chiefs lose, if the Bengals lose, one of their fan bases will blame the fucking refs. I'm so over it, bro. Shit's annoying as fuck.
We're going to go ahead and get into the Commanders and Lions game. I know you got some shit to say about the Commanders and Lions. Commanders won 54-31, and Reed should have stood 45. On business. 45-31. Reed should have stood on business, and he was going to pick the Commanders, and he didn't. He should have stood on business. You can go ahead.
Real quick on the Commanders, I think what Jaden Daniels is doing is amazing. And it's insane what he's been able to do as a rookie. Like, that kid feels no pressure at all.
It's crazy.
It doesn't matter what game it is. It doesn't matter what the moment is, fourth down. I mean, they're the best fourth down team in football, and he's a rookie QB. Like, he is unbelievable. Dan Quinn, you got to give him props for at least slowing down the Lions offense enough. Yeah, Commanders, well done on the year. This is one of the greatest turnarounds I've ever seen in the NFL. Plus, I think a lot of teams are going to base their turnarounds off this year's Commanders team. I think they changed the game. You know what I mean? I think the bad franchises are going to look at, 4 or 5 year starters in college, take a shot on them, get a bunch of vets in free agency, and fucking try to work through it just like the Commanders did. Now the Lions. Oh, man, the Lions, man. I remember specifically telling my friend George, who's a Lions fan, last year, and I think I was with you as well, when they were up by 18 against the 49ers last year, whatever they were up by. It was 3 scores, wasn't it? It was 3 scores in that game. When they were up by fucking 3 scores in the NFC Championship last year and ended up blowing the lead, I looked him in the eyes and I told him that I think that was probably your chance at a Super Bowl.
You did.
I seriously said that. I was like, most people take it for granted because we see teams like the Chiefs or the Patriots, the Eagles, go to these games, go to the Super Bowl every other year, have the best roster in football. But in a reality, that just doesn't happen for 98% of the franchises in football. And the Lions aren't one of the franchises that I look at and I'm like, yeah, they have luck on their side. You see what I'm saying? So I really genuinely believe, like, last year and this year were the 2 years that they had a shot at the Super Bowl and they couldn't get it done. And now they lost their 2 coordinators. And now we have, like, the other problem I see is Jared Goff. The elephant in the room is Jared Goff. No one wants to talk about how, if it wasn't these past 2 years, then when will it ever be? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because I think he already went to a Super Bowl, and he lost that Super Bowl only scoring 3 points. They lost 13-3 to the Patriots in the Super Bowl when he was the QB. Now, you're on the Lions. You're up 18 in the third quarter against the 49ers in the NFC Championship, and you lose that game by allowing a comeback. this year, you lose to a rookie QB in a home divisional game by 2 scores, and you have 3 picks. I think the biggest elephant in the room is Goff capable of winning past the best teams in the NFC? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I think they're going to have a QB controversy here in the next 2 years because I don't think he's capable of it. He's been in the position 3-4 times now, and he hasn't been able to get past it. I think they're going to have issues here. I think Dan Campbell's a good coach. He'll figure out the defense and the offense. They'll be fine. But is Goff ever going to be able to beat the best teams in the NFC?
Yeah, it's weird because we've been talking shit on the Commanders' defense this whole season. It's been awful. And I mean, they're still bad. They let the Lions put up 31. Any defense letting 30-plus, not a good defense typically. And it's like – it's interesting because the Lions have been touted. And that's why I'm glad, like, obviously, George, I'm sorry that your team lost. But at the same time, we saw – If you looked at the Lions objectively, you didn't have the rose-colored glasses. Yeah, they're doing the cool shit, the cool dances, the trick plays. Which, why the fuck did Ben Johnson do a trick play? Done, whatever. But you could see the cracks in this team. I think the guards for the Lions are not good guards. I think they're below average guards. And where did we see pressure up front? And what have I been saying this whole? DWC season 3, the pressure up front is worse than the pressure on the sides. You can't see shit if it's up front. And they were able to capitalize off the turnovers. People, that's why I was like, why are Lions fans talking about Ben Johnson? He did this like after we lost, blah, blah, blah. He wasn't the reason y'all lost. Y'all put up 31 points. The reason y'all lost is because your defense and and we knew this was going to be a high-scoring game, but your defense and your quarterback had 3 turnovers.
Yeah.
And I don't know where Jared Goff got the safe pass from, but this has been his – like you said, this has been his MO his whole career. He was a number one pick, and, you know, he's panned out. Usually number one picks have all that pressure and whatnot, and they – a lot of time for QBs, and a lot of times they don't pan out. Usually the best QBs are in the, you know, aren't the number one pick outside of like, we thought we were going to get with Andrew Luck, and Peyton Manning was the number one pick. So like, that's about it. But like, it's just, this is what you're going to be. And we don't know what's going to, we don't know who Dan Campbell's going to hire. And even if he hires another, like Ben Johnson was touted as an offensive genius, and they still lost because Jared Goff can't help himself but have turnovers. I think all you have to do in this position is not throw an interception.
Yeah.
And we saw it with the Texans game. Then people still thought he was immortalized. He threw 5 fucking interceptions. That's how bad the Texans are. They gave him – and like I say on the possessions, and what I've said on the, you know, throwback when the Chargers came back against the Jags, you get a possession back when the Chargers score. The same thing with the Lions. The Lions gave the Commanders 3 extra possessions by throwing interceptions. 3 extra possessions on what they've already had. So, of course, the score is going to look like this. It's the same thing why I said the Texans are bad. They gave the Texans 5 extra times to score on what they already had possession-wise, and they couldn't. So I don't know what's going to happen from the Lions because, like, what do you do? Do you draft a quarterback? Do you see what you – I mean, because I don't know. I remember, you know, y'all remember fucking Hendon Hooker. I don't know about him. I don't know what the fuck's going to go on over there. But like you said, I think their window's done.
My biggest thing with them is like they're in the situation where we've talked about this numerous times this year. You have to make a decision. Do you think the game just didn't go right for certain reasons, or was it Jared Goff? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And you have to make that decision as the coach and as the GM and as the org. Not many people can do it. You know what I mean? Jared Goff falls in line with, like, Kirk Cousins' status, in my opinion. Like, that's the QB he is. Who knows if we'll ever be able to win a Super Bowl? Most likely not. He's not dynamic enough. He does enough. He's a timing quarterback. And they had the best O-line in football. They had the best backfield in football. They have one of the best receiving corps in football. You know, I'm sitting here, like, these last 2 years, they were the one seed this year, 15-1 or whatever. Yeah, 15-2.
Mm-hmm.
And they couldn't beat the Commanders with one of the worst defenses in the leagues, one of the best offenses in the league that the Lions have. They couldn't beat them.
Rookie quarterback.
Realistically, the only reason, and I think we said this last week, the Commanders couldn't fall behind in the game, right? Mm-hmm. They had to stay ahead. And the Lions, if they didn't turn the ball over, they'd probably win the game. But Jared Goff has 3 turnovers, and then Jameson Williams throws the worst pick I've ever seen in my life. But that one is what it is. He's not,
he's why not are we doing game. That in the playoffs?
Yeah, what I don't are you doing? I don't know, man. Like, the picks were bad too. They weren't like a tip pick. That pick 6 was one of the worst throws I've seen. I was just like, where is he throwing that ball? He threw it late. He threw it high. I was just like, okay.
Those interceptions were a Ben Johnson, I got to get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, that was a I'm leaving type of thing. Yeah, I don't know. I think Goff is what he is at this point in his career. He's reached his ceiling, and I think we've seen it. NFC Championship, lose the NFC Championship game, just like Kirk Cousins did. You know what I mean? Those aren't Super Bowl winning QBs, in my opinion. I think too many things need to go well for those QBs to win football at this point, win games at this point. And like for Pat Mahomes, for Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, they're all dynamic enough on their feet in playmaking that they can make shit happen even when shit's going wrong. So,
yeah.
But I don't think Goff is that guy. I just don't.
It's unfortunate for the Lions fans, man. But like we said, y'all need to look inward. Why are people leaving? You know what I mean? Why did the Rams get rid of this brother and, you know, see success? It is what it is, bro. But at the same time, it's like, are you going to be complacent not getting to the big dance?
Oh, so many teams are, though. Like, the Buccaneers are complacent about it. But then, again, like, that's the hardest thing to do, though. You either choose to be one of the worst teams in football until you find that guy that can get you to the Super Bowl, or you choose to be a team that can go 8-12 wins, get to the playoffs every year, and lose in the playoffs. Like, what would you rather have? Like, yeah. I get what the Buccaneers are doing because it puts fans in the seats. Like, they'll always show up. They might always get playoff revenue. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Are you happier making a profit, or do you want to win Super Bowls?
But seeing, like, the Buccaneers have never, like, with Baker Mayfield, they've never hit 15-2 and number one in the NFC.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's different. The Lions were there. They could fucking feel the trophy. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then they fucking fumbled it twice in 2 years. So, I don't know, man. That's a tough pill to swallow. You got to kind of look inward on that one.
Yeah. So, I think something drastic's going to happen. If it's high, you know, coach, coordinator hirings or in the, you know, 1 to 3 years, or if Jared Goff isn't on this team. But I don't know. They had so much momentum back-to-back years.
And I also
– now it's gone.
I don't want to beat a dead horse or anything, but the way the Lions treated the first half of the season, running up the score on bad teams, playing their starters late in fourth quarters when they were up 30, and then the injuries in the back half of the season all to follow. Do we all think that's really a coincidence?
I'm cooking, bro.
I don't want to be a dick and be like, I know injuries happen at random ass times.
Yeah.
You can't control injuries, but like you can control player time on the field.
Did we really need to put 50 on the Titans?
Or the Jags? The Jags had Mac Jones playing. They were up 30 at halftime, and they continued to play the starters late in the fourth quarter. What are we doing? This isn't college football. You don't need bonus points to get into the college football playoffs. This is the NFL. You get a win, you rest your guys, you get to the next week, especially with only one bye in 17 games.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is, like, a lot went wrong on the injury side of the ball for the Lions, but they did play their starters when they didn't need to for a lot of the games this year.
Yeah, that wear and tear adds up like a motherfucker, man.
Yeah, and to win a Super Bowl, so much has to go right for you on the season. So why risk, even if it's a tiny, tiny, tiny percentage, why risk that percentage just to beat up on smaller teams to prove that you're the big bad wolf in the NFC? Because I promise you, the Commanders weren't fucking scared of you.
No.
Like, maybe you can scare the fucking Vikings with Sam Darnold. Like, looking at that chart, whatever, I wish I could fucking shout out that dude who made that chart. The only QB to have a bad game against the Lions in the last 6 weeks of the season was Sam Darnold.
Shout out Sam Darnold, man. Future Browns quarterback, baby.
I don't know, man. Like, the Lions went 15-2 this year, and I don't think any team was scared of them.
No, but it was weird because, like, when they were gonna, there was a potential that they could meet Matt Stafford, and if the line looked good enough, I was gonna put some money on Matt Stafford. But this is one of the most fraudulent 15-2 teams. I don't know since when.
I just think, like, me personally, barring the Eagles, I think the Eagles are more – they play more like an AFC team than the NFC.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think the Eagles would fit in with the AFC. The NFC to me is, like – I don't know, man. Like, it's weak. I think the NFC is so much weaker than the AFC. And I know the records look better. You got the bigger records, the flashier records in the NFC, but I just think it's because, like, you have those four or five teams that are really good and everyone else is just bad. And, like, the AFC, you have gauntlets over there. You got good QBs in every division. You got two good QBs in every division. Like, I'm just not impressed with the NFC. And the Lions going 15-2, I was just like, okay.
Yeah, it was in the playoffs. I was just like watching the Bills and the Ravens. I was like, oh, them boys hitting.
Oh my God. They were smoking, like, each other.
The Commanders and Lions, like, the Commanders showed up to fucking play. And the Lions were like, oh, hell, oh. I feel like it's a lot easier outside of the I'm with you though. Outside of the Eagles, I think it's a lot easier to, like, win an upset in the AFC if you just pop someone in the mouth first.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then they'll be like, start reeling back. That's what we saw with the Vikings. I mean, it was the Lions doing it, but, I mean, they fucking – it only took one time for, you know, the pressure on Sam Darnold, and he just fucking crumbled, bro.
Yeah, he definitely did. I was impressed with the Rams defense, though. Shout out the Rams defense. Jared Verse is a fucking freak. Well, I guess we're going to talk about them next.
Yeah. Yeah, and one more thing before we get to Eagles-Rams. I think it's hilarious watching Jared Goff try to escape the pocket and do a throw on the run. It is the worst throw I think I've ever seen in my life. It's just automatic. I already knew that shit was going to the dirt. It's so funny, bro. Yeah, the Eagles beat the Rams. Close one. Rams had an opportunity to score. Terrible ball by Stafford. Puka was open. Very unfortunate. I thought, well, you know, Rams, Eagles won 28-22. I legitimately, when Puka caught that jump ball, I was like, oh, the Rams are winning. It was so weird. I was just like, oh, no. And the Eagles were only winning by six. I was like, oh, my God. Like, the Rams might win this bitch.
Yeah, what a great fucking game. Like, it always felt like the Rams were right there but could never take the lead. And that's kind of how it ended up being. But I mean, it wasn't not a sweat for the Eagles fans. I mean,
yeah.
Once the Eagles popped, or once Barkley popped that 62-yard touchdown run at the end of the game, I think it was the fourth quarter, the start of the fourth quarter or something. Yeah. I was like, okay, like, the Rams need to score, and they couldn't do it. The Rams kept turning it over in the worst times in that game, and I was just like, oh my God, but. But, of course, when they went hurry up with, like, 4 minutes left and the Rams scored in, like, six plays, I was like, okay, they're back in this game because outside of the Eagles having those two big runs by Barkley, the Eagles offense is non-existent.
Yeah, it is so bad. It's putrid.
Like, they are very – they're trying to be, like, methodical. Jalen Hurts hasn't been the greatest as of right now. And if they're not picking up first down after first down, like, they're not getting fucking anywhere. You know what I mean? They're not hitting the big pop plays down the field like we're used to seeing with A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. Even Goddard, you know what I mean? I really think the Rams' defense was good, though. So don't get me wrong. But the Rams, like, it's so unfortunate for the Rams because, like, they don't give up those two giant runs, and they probably win this game.
Yeah.
78-yard run and a 62-yard run. Well, then, and a 41-yard run by Hurts.
Like, Hurts. I think that was the one, like, if they could have that one back, that shit was rough.
I know the Eagles put up a bunch of rushing yards, but realistically, it was off three plays. The Rams did great otherwise on defense, and it was really just those three plays that lost them the game. But such a good game. Eagles, again, though, like, they're always leading. They do so well when they're leading in a game. You know what I mean? They just know how to control the pace, move the football, just get, like, one more first down to squeeze a little bit more time out of the clock. Like, they're so good at that. But I do think this is the team they didn't want to see in the NFC Championship game because it's a division rival, and who the fuck wants to play a division rival in the NFC champion or in the championship game?
The third time they play.
Yeah, and it's not like
he's got tape on everybody.
Exactly. This is the worst case scenario for the Eagles. I think the Lions would have lost to the Eagles. I think the Eagles would just be too much. They would keep Goff off the field and just run the ball because I don't think the Lions would have been able to stop it. But the Commanders, every time the Eagles play the Commanders, it's always a close game. It's always stupid. It's always a last-second touchdown or field goal that wins the game. I got the matchup I wanted. So
yeah, this is going to be a great matchup. Like you said, though, I think if he has another, like, one of these years, Jared Verse can easily be a top 10 edge rusher. He is insane. The fact that he fell that far is nasty. He is a fucking monster. He's an athletic freak. He's just him. He is him. No mean to glaze, but thank God that brother's over there.
He was talking shit to the fans the entire time.
Yeah,
and you know what's funny? He earned it because he had like three sacks.
Yeah, who the fuck saying shit to him? I get my ass beat, boy. That's a fan. Fuck no. It was like when we were about to start talking shit at the UC game to Miami, and then them players came over and it was silent. Ain't nobody say shit to any of them Miami boys.
Yeah.
But yeah, close game. That's I'm with you on the Eagles being like an AFC team in the NFC. Usually in the NFC, like, playoff games, we're looking at the big numbers and, you know, teams offensive having over 500 yards plus type shit. But Eagles can win these, like, boring ass heavy run games, not that many yards from your QB type game. And I don't know how Hurts is going to be. I know he had that, like, MCL injury late in the game. I don't know how that's going to affect him, but it's going to be interesting if the Commanders, which I don't know if they can, but if they can limit this rushing attack and make Hurts throw, they have a really good opportunity. No disrespect to Hurts. I love Jalen Hurts, but it's just the passing offense just has not been clicking. I don't know if it's a Hurts and wide receivers thing. I don't know if it's Kellen Moore. I don't know what the fuck's going on, but this passing attack is not what we've seen in the previous years at all. And I know players are getting open. They have too great of a wide receiver and tight end core to not have players open. So it's gonna be nasty. I mean, the Commanders, when they played last time, Jaden Dennings ain't led a game winning drive. I would be scared if he has the ball, just like I was with Matt Stafford to end the game. I'd be scared with Jaden Daniels with the ball, and he's a rookie. I'd be scared with him with having the ball near the end. He's just so good. The great thing about Jaden Daniels that I really like about him is he's good at getting first downs. He's really good at, in the when you need a first down, he's really good at getting first down. He's not looking for the 25-yard play. He's looking for the 8-yard play that's going to get you a first down, the 6-yard play that's going to get you a first down. He's really good at moving the chains.
Yeah.
So this is going to be an interesting matchup. And then the last game, the Bills and the Ravens. Bills won 27-25. How do we feel about the Bills and the Ravens?
I mean, this was a gritty ass game for sure. There wasn't much offensive output by either team. The only difference in this game that I saw was that the Ravens turned it over and the Bills didn't. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That was really it, because honestly, throughout the game, the Ravens moved the football better than the Bills did. But
yeah,
the Ravens fumbled it twice in enemy territory. And that was pretty much the game, you know? Like, I know everyone's gonna blame Mark Andrews for the 2-point. They had a chance to tie it at the end of the game, but like, I think it was a little bit of both, because, I mean, Lamar had that horrid fumble that led to a Bills touchdown in the first or in the second quarter or the first quarter. I don't know which one that was. And then Mark Andrews actually had a fumble late in the game, and he also dropped that 2-point. So he didn't have a good game at all either.
No. But
yeah, I think really, like, Josh Allen didn't really do much. He had 127 passing yards. He had, like, 2 rushing touchdowns or something. But, like, other than that, like, the Bills' offense got stopped. The Ravens' defense did their job. The only time they allowed points was the first drive for the Bills and then the turnovers from the Ravens. That was pretty much it. And then a late drive to give the Bills a field goal. But other than that, like, they were stout. Like, I thought the Bills' defense was stout. I thought the Ravens' defense was stout. Like, this is just the AFC football as a whole. Like, good defense, doing enough to win the game, don't turn it over. If you turn it over in the AFC, you're fucking losing the game. That's usually how it is. So, I mean, that's just kind of what it went down to. Josh Allen protected the ball. Lamar Jackson didn't. I'm not saying it's Lamar Jackson's fault that they lost, because it wasn't. It was a team effort for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And Mark Andrews also dropped the 2-point at the end to send it to OT. So, yeah, I don't know. It just seems, like we said, it just kind of seems like the Bills' year. That drop doesn't happen 9 times out of 10. It happens once out of 10, and it just happened to be that time. So, I don't know, man. Feels like a Bills type of year.
Yeah, and that's what you need in the Super Bowl. Not only do you need an amazing team, a great quarterback, but you need luck on your side as well. And I think that, you know, Lady Luck helped him out for that, because I thought that was for sure. I was like, oh, we're going, you know. Now, if that catch would have happened, do I think the Bills drive down for a field goal? Yes, I do believe that would have happened. But at the same time, when Lamar threw that ball, I was like, oh, yeah, this could potentially go to OT. I for sure thought that was a catch. I wasn't even looking at the screen until I saw the ball, like, out of bounds. I was like, what the fuck just happened? Because there was no one near Mark Andrews.
Yeah.
And the ball was thrown well enough that Mark Andrews should have caught that. I know.
Yeah, it should have been caught.
Oh, Lamar could have thrown a better ball, bro. It hit him in the hands, in the stomach.
Yeah.
You don't come down with that, it's nasty. But like you said, I want to circle that back with Sean McDermott. Like, the Ravens fucked up, right? Like, we have a lead. The Ravens fucked up. Why aren't we pressing on the gas pedal?
Yep.
Absolutely. They were way too complacent in their run and pass game, allowing the Ravens to come back. And Lamar, like, I know whatever people can say about Lamar, but like, this is a potential 3-time MVP. You don't just get those off the strength. And he had a terrible first half, and he had an amazing second half.
Mm-hmm.
And you, like, as the Bills, you have to game plan for that. Lamar isn't just going to be, I know what his, like, his touchdown ratio and stuff in the playoffs look bad, but like, I wouldn't take that chance. I would be prepared and try to get a bigger lead against Lamar, because he can get that lead back in a fucking snap of finger, bro. It is insane. And that defense has been playing lights out. So you give Lamar more chances, he's going to be able to catch back up to the team. So I was really disappointed in how the Bills were handling that situation. They're lucky they came out with the victory, but they could have lost just being complacent. And that Lamar fumble was awful. I knew it wasn't going to be a touchdown once I saw 40 pick it up because Von Miller has no gas. So I knew he wasn't scoring. I was like, that's when the fumble happened, I was like, oh, my God, the Ravens are so lucky that Von Miller picked that ball up because I knew that shit was not going to be a touchdown. So, shout out to Hambulance, my GOAT, causing that fumble. But I think there can be blame placed on Lamar because you shouldn't have been in that position. But I think he more than enough made it up in the second half. Because the pass, like the two-point conversion failed, but that like crazy ass like 30-yard throw that he had to Isaiah Likely after escaping the pocket was insane. Only Lamar can do something like that. So I think he made it up in the second half. But that fumble by Mark Andrews, what the fuck were we doing? Did we think we were Zay Flowers? Why, like when they did the still shot and there was nobody in front of him, and this brother decided to jump cut, we're smoking dick. There's no way that you thought you was going to fool any DB on a jump cut and get extra yards. You deserve the fumble because what the fuck are we doing? Get your big ass some extra yards and run over somebody. Motherfucker, you are not David Njoku. I don't know what you are. Not the tight end from Bowling Green. You are Mark Andrews, brother. You run a 5-flat. Why are we jump cutting?
I just looked. The Ravens never even punted in the game. It seems like the Bills, like Sean McDermott, went into the game trying to.
I don't know why we were so conservative. You have Josh Allen.
Yeah, I don't know. He only threw it 22 times, which is kind of surprising. But it seems like the game plan was milk the clock. Don't let Lamar on the field type bullshit. But at the same time, it almost cost them the game.
Yeah. They...
I get it against the Broncos. You see what I'm saying? Like, you can sustain those 11-play, 70-yard drives that take up 7 minutes. But against the Ravens, you're not going to have that opportunity every single time. Plus, you're giving the ball back to Lamar. So you need to open it up a little more. If they want to beat the Chiefs, they're going to have to open it up a little more. They're not going to fucking be able to run all over the Chiefs. No pause.
But, like, I'm with you. I don't like this complicity from them. I don't like you. You have an X amount of lead on Lamar. Let's build the lead. We have Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Let me add that. Because it'd be different if we have a lead on Lamar, we have Russell Wilson. Bitch, we have Josh Allen.
Yeah.
What are we doing, bro? So, and realistically, bro, no shade to Lamar, but bitch, you was giving extra possessions to Derrick Henry. They could not stop that brother.
Yeah.
At all. When the Ravens scored after that fumble, all Lamar did was you and that bitch off. Bitch, Justice Hill was getting yards.
They were averaging like 6 yards a carry.
How the fuck did the Ravens lose, bro? I was like,
turnovers. That was it.
Turnover. Yeah. All it was turnovers.
The Ravens had more yards. They had better drives, more consistent drives. They just turned it over in the worst moments.
They didn't turn over. If they only had one, bro, they're winning that.
Yeah, they're probably winning the game if they only had one.
So, like I said, the Chiefs look like a beatable team. But are the Bills going to – if you do this shit, if you're complacent against Patrick Mahomes, you are going to lose the game. Patrick, no mean to glaze, but that shit ain't happening with the Chiefs. So you got to lock in. If you can't take a lead for granted in the AFC at all.
No.
These QBs are too good. You give them the ball back, they're going to score. No disrespect to the NFC. Them bitches crumble. A lead is up, they crumble, man. You cannot do that against the AFC quarterbacks. But shout out. Hot take. Do you think the Ravens, not necessarily quarterback issues, do you think the Ravens are in the same position as the Lions?
Oh, man.
Going to win the division, get all these regular season wins, and it just folds in the playoffs.
To me, it's a little bit different. because of who the Ravens have to go through
mm-hmm.
to get to the Super Bowl. You see what I'm saying? Like mm-hmm. the Ravens, the Lions don't have to go through Pat Mahomes and Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen just to get to the Super Bowl. The Lions have to go through Jaden Daniels, a rookie QB, or Jordan Love, who's super spotty, Sam Darnold.
Hey, that was your MVP pick.
Who?
Jordan Love.
Oh, I thought you were about to say Sam Darnold because no. the last one I said. Yeah, Jordan Love was spotty all year. He was injured all year. But I'm saying he's not the guy that's been consistently at the top. You see what I'm mm-hmm. saying? Like, I think the competition level's way higher in the AFC. QB play-wise mm. and coaching-wise, I think the coaches are better too. So, I don't know, man. I think the Ravens will get one eventually, unfortunately, because obviously I'm a Browns fan. I don't want that. Lamar is so young. Just keep building around him. You know what I mean? Like, I think eventually he'll get it done. There's no way. No one can convince me. Well, maybe there is a way. As long as Andy Reid is still the coach. Like, once Andy Reid's not going to last forever, right? Like, mm-hmm. he may coach another 3 years. But after that, like, Lamar's still going to be young
yeah.
in the league and still could get it done. But, like, someone eventually has to beat the Chiefs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we saw the Chiefs slip up against the Bengals that one time in the AFC Championship. Like, it's probably coming again eventually, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it might be this year with the Bills, like Josh Allen and the Bills. And we're saying the same thing. You could say the same thing about the Bills is all these regular season wins, but they can't beat the Chiefs. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To me, it's different when the Lions can't beat, like, I mean, it's a different team. It's, yeah, yeah. It's not like the 49ers stopped them again. You see what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. when will the Lions ever beat the 49ers? No, it's a different team beat them this year. And it's the same thing with, like, Manning when he was facing Tom Brady every year. Like, eventually he finally got through and got a Super Bowl. But it took a while. I was going
to say, are you saying Lamar's like Big Ben?
Because yeah.
you had to try to go through Peyton Manning and Tom Brady eventually.
Eventually it will happen, I think, because there's no way, like, I mean, maybe there's no way Pat Mahomes can win, like, every year, right? Like, there's no way.
He's got three, bro.
Because even Tom Brady missed it a few times, right?
Yeah.
Like, I think that will happen. It'll slip through the cracks. Like, Lamar, Josh, one of them will probably get one, and the other will probably get one down the line as well. Don't do anything drastic on the Ravens. Like, we don't need to fucking find a new QB. That's ridiculous. He's one of the best QBs in the league. You're not upgrading from Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
So maybe coaching in a few years. Like, 3 years down the line, they still can't beat the Bills or the Chiefs. Maybe coaching.
Harbaugh?
That's a conversation I'm willing to have. But get rid of Lamar, never. Never do that.
Lamar should be a Raven for as long as he wants to be a Raven.
Exactly. And same with Josh. Even if he doesn't ever beat Patrick, like, you don't get rid of that. You're just not going to do it.
It's just with his record in the playoffs and his play in the playoffs, I think he's been improving every single year, though. Lamar is just going to be – I feel like there's always something wrong with the Ravens right when they get to the playoffs. Something is, like, glaring wrong with them because they spanked the fucking Bills in the regular season, and then the playoffs, like, it was just a completely different story.
I will say the Bills locked in towards
the end. They locked the fuck in.
Just like last year. Like, they locked the fuck in at the end of the season.
So let's go ahead and get into our picks and locks. Talk about these games for the locks of the week. We only have two games, so it's hard to find, you know, our locks. We're going with both underdogs for, you know, the spreads. So I have Bills plus 1.5, and Reed has Commanders plus 6. Commanders fans, he didn't want to pull through with y'all, but now, he's coming back and he's pulling through with y'all. Whatever. Commanders plus 6.
Well, don't get your hopes up too much. I picked the Eagles this week, so. I just think
it'll be close.
Yeah, I just think it'll be a close game. Like, I don't see it being a blowout. Like, I don't think the Eagles are built to blow teams out, to be completely honest. So, I think it will be, maybe like you said before we started this, it will come down to, like, Washington needs the score at the end to cover. But, I mean, I hope not. But I think it'll be like a 3-4 point game at the end. I think the Commanders can score on that defense. I know that defense is really good, but yeah, I don't think the Eagles are meant to blow teams out. So That's why I think the plus six is a little generous. I'd like to get it above seven, but you know, you can't get that with Vegas. They're too sharp.
Yeah. Especially now with these being the last two games, they got to make some money. I have the Bills plus 1.5. I have the Bills winning, so I might as well just take their spread. I think it's also going to be a really close game, but I just think it's the Bills' year. The Chiefs look really beatable, and the Bills just look – they're a good team, great quarterback. Quarterback might win MVP, and I think they have that luck behind them, that Super Bowl luck to them this year. And we saw it with the Bills and Ravens game. So we have for the Commanders and the Eagles, we both picked the Eagles. For the Bills, going to Arrowhead, I picked the Bills and Reed picked the Chiefs. We talked about it with the Eagles. I think the team. The Commanders, you did your job. You got this far. Congratulations. I just think the Eagles are what I would think of as a Super Bowl team. They're respectable Super Bowl team. They're not going to blow you out. They're going to win these close games, and they're going to lean into the running game. Saquon Barkley's just that good. And I don't what they did against the Lions, I don't think they can do against the Eagles. I just think the team's just a better team for the Eagles, and that's what I'm picking. And it's in Philly, and that's why I'm picking the Eagles.
Yeah, I think the Eagles I think they'll do enough to control the clock. Mm-hmm. I don't think they'll let it get out of hand like they did in that second game.
Yeah.
Where, I mean, the Eagles were dominating the first half of that game, and then all of a sudden they couldn't stop anything. I don't think it gets to that point. I think defense, like as always, tightens up in the playoffs. And I really don't think this is going to be a super high-scoring game.
No.
To me, the scoring will look like methodical drives. I think long drives take up a bunch of time, like maybe a bunch of fourth downs, some tush pushes and shit like that. I think that's probably going to be how it goes. And I think the Eagles will probably win a close one. I just think they're the better overall team. No matter what I think about Hurts or Jaden Daniels, I just think probably a more well-coached team, the Eagles, more talent. I think they probably get it done.
For the Bills going to Arrowhead, I have the Bills. Like I said, I just think they are the Super Bowl, the best quarterback right now, best playing quarterback right now. I think he'll be MVP, and I just think they have that left behind them. And I agree with Reed's pick, though. Until they do it, until someone beats the fucking Chiefs, it's really hard to pick against them.
Yeah, I think it's the Bills' year, too, but we've seen dumber shit happen, and we've seen, like, there was many years where I thought it was Manning's year to finally win it, and then Tom Brady beats him in the AFC Championship. So I'm just kind of – until someone proves to me they can beat this team on a consistent basis, I'm not picking against them. So I'm always going to pick Pat and Andy Reid. And fuck Spagnuolo. Spagnuolo has been one of the best DCs in the football the past 3 years. Yeah, so
they all just lock in.
I don't know what it is about that team, what they got going on in that locker room, but – it doesn't matter what happens in the regular season. At all three levels of the team are locked the fuck in when the playoffs start.
Yeah, it's so weird. So we're going to have either the Eagles playing the Bills or the Eagles playing the Chiefs in our picks. Solidified my dub. Season 3. We're up 2-1 in picks. I'm real. You know, I do this for y'all, man. Come make money with me, man. My locks have been elite. Picks have been elite. I'm only up, what, 5? Picks have been elite. Locks are elite. I'm a goat, man. So before we get out of here, just going to show you guys the locks. Again, we have Commanders plus 6 and the Bills plus 1.5. I know the overs and unders are 47.5 for both games. I don't know if I'd touch those overs with a fucking 10-foot pole. I don't know how I feel about these games.
I'm kind of leaning under for both, to be honest with you.
I don't hate it. I know the Eagles and Commanders games have always been, like, higher scoring. But with this weather and the way the Eagles play, If they can stop the Commanders from scoring, all they're going to do is just run out the clock. So the Commanders, like you said for the Lions game, Commanders just need to take a lead. If they don't take a lead, they let the Eagles take a lead, the Eagles are just going to run the clock out.
Yeah, and I think for the Bills-Chiefs, I think both teams – well, I think the Chiefs are a methodical scoring team. They take up time, a lot of plays to score. They're not big hitters. The Bills, the way they've gone into the playoffs, it seems like they want to keep the ball out of other teams' hands. So I think they'll also play into the under there.
Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be the same thing as the Bills and Ravens, whoever makes a turnover. If nobody makes a turnover, it's going to be a great game. If someone has a turnover, it's going to be really tough coming back because both these QBs are really good. And the teams, like you said, the teams, how they work, are just keeping the ball away from the other quarterback. And that's how you have to play in the AFC. You got to keep moving the chains and wasting clock. You cannot give the ball back to the other quarterback.
Yeah.
So that is our episode 21 for the conference championship week. We will go into the Super Bowl week later. I know the Super Bowl. We'll have to discuss when we're going to drop that episode. But we'll let you guys know. We'll update you guys when we're going to drop that episode. But you guys can always watch us on video on YouTube under Defense Wins Championships Podcast and on audio through Spotify and Apple under Defense Wins Championships Podcast. This will be posted on the Instagram at Defense Wins Championships and Podcast and on Twitter, DWC 2022. Thanks again, everybody, for listening, watching. Make sure you like, comment, subscribe, all that jazz. Rate us 5 stars. Really appreciate it. Nearing the end of season 3. Super excited for season 4 and what that holds for the NFL. We'll probably do some, you know, off-season talking here and there, drop an episode here and there for you guys so we're not leaving you guys bare before the NFL draft. And we'll just ramp it up, do some short-form content and all that. So we can spearhead to season 4 and continue to go. But other than that, guys, we will see y'all later. Peace.